Purpose Podcast with Dr. Jazz, where I'm your host, Dr. Jazz, and we journey to purpose together. Today on this episode, I have Allie Nichols and Dudley Grady Jr. Of the Bear Fruit Podcast. And I'm so excited about this episode. Oh my goodness. So let me hurry up and introduce them so we can get right into it. Allison Nichols, or simply Allie, was born and raised in New Orleans. She is currently pursuing her bachelor's degree in psychology and counseling at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in hopes of becoming a Christian counselor. At New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, she also serves as a secretary for the Fellowship of Black Seminarians. Allie currently works at Celebration Church as the College and Youth Young Adult Life Group Zone Pastor. Through teaching and leading, Allie strives to continue learning and remain teachable. She's the co-founder and the assistant camp director of Reset Camp. When Allie is not serving, she enjoys spending quality time with her friends and family, binge watching her favorite TV shows, and making memories with her God kids. Now on to Dudley. Dudley Grady Jr. is a proud native and resident of New Orleans, where he serves as the director of facility operations for the local school district and the advisor for the superintendent's student advisory council. He is also a founding member of camp director at Reset Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit created to serve inner city students and leaders, and a co-host of Bear Fruit, a podcast for millennials about relationships, faith, and culture. He has more than 15 years of experience working with teens and youth-led organizations. He received his bachelor's in communication from XU, Xavier University of Louisiana, XU all day, his master's in business from LSU, and will begin pursuing his PhD at Hampton University in the summer. Dudley loves to travel, discover new music and food, volunteer in the community, and hang out with his friends and family. How are y'all doing today?
Ooh, man, I'm excited. I'm ready.
I'm so excited too. And I'm sorry that I read y'all bios like that. I promise I can read. Just a little struggle tonight, but that's okay. That's okay. So if you know anything about our podcast, I kind of just jump right in. So my first question for both of you all is, what does purpose mean to you?
Let me go.
I struggle with this. But I think purpose is, it's your reason. It's your why. I would say like purpose is like your God street. So like that is, it's the path that God has specifically set out for you. And it's the thing that God has prepared you for and will continue to prepare you for in order for it to be fulfilled. That's how I see purpose.
It's okay. Really good. I've never heard God street. Makes sense. Okay.
Like,
okay.
It's like, you know, cause you know how you hear people say like, stay in your lane. Like that is that's your God street.
That's dope. I'm about to start telling people that. Allie.
Merch. I'm about to say that needs to be on a shirt. I can see it now. I think for me, kind of similar to what Dudley said, not the God street thing, cause that was very organic. But I see it's kind of like your own personal, like, calling or mission, I think, is like only something that you can do that cannot be achieved by anyone else. But like, as a follower of Christ, I think that because like our purpose is intertwined with God's will, if we use our free will to say no, that someone else will do something that you were called to do and you will miss everything. And I feel like I may be going into something else, but I feel like that's why some people feel like they've missed their because they haven't been obedient in the first things that God has already told them to do. So I feel like purpose is like your assignment that has your name on it and no one else can touch it unless you decline it, and then God will assign it to someone else and that's like, you'll be lost. Like,
so that's interesting, because I was gonna ask that question when you said that, like, it's for you, right? No one else can do it. But I feel like that, like, God is so much bigger than us, right? Like, he could be like, that's fine, Allie. Like, you don't want to go there? Like, that's fine. Let somebody else do it. So right. My question, because I kind of want to combine both of these, I'm interested in both of these definitions. Like, if I'm saying no to my God street, right, using Dudley's example, like, if I want to be a street over, what does that do? Can you say no? Can you be on another street is the first question. And then if I am on another street, Like, what does that do for me as a person?
So I think it is important for us to understand that purpose is not automatic, like in a sense that you don't automatically walk in it. You have to play an active role, or you have to play an active part in that. So like the decisions that you make, your work ethic, like that is how you get to the fulfillment of your purpose. Like, let's say I have a car. Yes, it has the ability to take me from point A to point B, but I have to keep up with the maintenance of that car. I have to put gas in it. There is work that I have to do in order for it to be what it is intended to be and to do what it was created to do. So that is like, that is how we are in sync, or that's how we are in relation to our purpose. Like there is, it's there, but there is work that we have to in order for it to be fulfilled. So yeah, you can absolutely not like live your whole life and never fulfill your purpose. It impacts us more than it impacts God. It's because like we said, God is, he's gonna figure it out.
Yeah. You want me to answer? Oh,
yes, okay. Well, yes.
No, you don't have to. I think that that's why God gave us free will. Like, God is such a gentleman. He doesn't force his love upon anyone. He makes it our decision to follow him, to follow his word, to do what he's called us to do. And I think that if you say yes to God and like accepting him, like if you say yes to Jesus Christ, but then say no to the assignment, I feel like there's disobedience connected to that and its consequences. But I feel like if you don't know God, like who are you saying no to? Like, I feel like you're not, that like that doesn't equate to anything. But I feel like there are people that may not know God that are doing what God needed them to do, but they don't know that's God in the mix. I think that's where believers come in to be like, hey, so I want you to know you're operating your calling, but it's not by your will, but by God's will. And so I think that's there because I know many like secular people and professions that are just killing a game and doing amazing things and doing things I couldn't even imagine doing, but it's still by not their own will, by God's will. But as far as like personal purpose, I know specifically for me that like God has told me to do stuff and I said no. And thinking about using Dudley's analogy of God Street, I feel like when I said no and turned off of it, I was just lost like an Israelite wandering, lost and thinking that I was fulfilling myself, but not doing much of nothing. And it wasn't until I was like, okay, fine. Then he put me back on the right street. Now things are not easier, but clearer, if that makes sense.
That's good. So I have two follow-up questions. First, for those my listeners who do not know the Lord, the Israelites are a group of people who were lost in the wilderness for 40 years because they decided to do their own thing. All right. Now, the second thing I'm thinking about is, so y'all gonna, okay, so we don't, if y'all are like, Jasmine, we don't want to talk about this, that's fine. Because I was thinking about the people who are not believers. Right. Yeah. And who are killing the game. And me and my friends have these conversations all the time about manifesting. Right. And like finding, like they find their purpose or the thing they were created. Like they don't really use the same language, but it's like the same thing, you know? And so my argument is that manifesting is the same thing. And their argument is that it is like demonic. Right. And it's like not of the Lord and all these other things. But I think that like people who are like, man, that was my goal. I saw it. I wanted to get it. I killed it. And it helps the world. Cause I think everyone's purpose is to help the world, not to help themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. So if it's an entertaining, bringing joy, right. If it's someone saying, I want to start this nonprofit and they don't know the Lord and they, you know, whatever, they saw it and they went after it. Do you think that there's room for that in the church or in purpose seeking or anything? Uh-oh, Dudley. Uh-oh.
So, oh man, Chaz, you really open. Okay. So kind of to your point, I do think, so like as a believer, my ultimate purpose is to love God and to love people. I do think that people, I do believe in manifesting. I do think that there are people that are not believers and that are walking in their purpose. But I think it's also the important, it's important to understand the other side of purpose and that it is yes, it's about you, but then it's also about other people, right? So like my purpose impacts somebody else. So like, while I might not be walking in like on that God street, but I'm fulfilling like the what God has intended me to do, I might not see the full benefit of it, but God is going to use that for somebody else to reap the benefits of you know, what I'm doing. So I think it goes back to your original point that God is not small. And like, he has already thought this out. And like, you really, yes, you're manifesting, but like, God is still God.
That's so a good like, point.
You might so like, think that really you not. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, you're right. You might think that this is all you, but yeah. Like, God is already, because I think a lot of that, like us understanding our purpose, I think God intends for us to see the full benefit of it and feel that full satisfaction of it. And, but ultimately, like, it's to give him glory. Right. So like, you might be getting, you know, you might be getting some satisfaction, but you'll never really embrace what it means to walk in your purpose without God. So you're like missing yeah. that piece. But like, the people that you touch, the people that you impact, like I was having a conversation not too long before I got on here. Somebody asked me about like character and ability. And we were talking about like, you know, what outweighs the other, or however we talk about it. But I was saying character, like it supersedes all of that, but it doesn't take away like your ability. So like, you can have the ability to do something, but you might be missing the character part. So I guess my purpose of saying all of that is God, he still uses us regardless. Like, even think about the Bible. How many people God used in the Bible that did not have a relationship with him, but they did it, but he used them in order to fulfill a divine purpose. So it's really not about you. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm interested in the definition of manifesting, because from what I perceive the manifesting, and I may be wrong, is like people like is that the same, like speaking things into existence type of thing, and that's the right vibe.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that I have an interesting relationship with that, because I feel like as a human being, I do not have the same. The Holy Spirit lives within me because I accepted Christ, but I do not have the power of like God to like speak things into existence. Like, he was able to speak light. He was able to speak like the earth and man and stuff. And I think that, and when he did that, it was for himself, but for us. And I think that when people manifest up, it's more so, it's like inward. It's like, I want this to kind of benefit me. And if it helps somebody else, cool. And I think that when it comes to like, this is kind of off topic, but I'm trying to come back to purpose. But when it comes to purpose, I think when we come to manifesting, I think that like, I've seen God move in people's lives and they didn't know it was God. Cause like, even how when I worked at a bank before I started working at a church, and how I was able to work at a bank was because I was having like very intentional Christian conversations with my atheist friend. And she remembered me when she went to go work at that bank, and she got me on. And I tell her all the time, like, I know you don't believe in God, but God used you to get me here. And she's like, whatever. But I think that with her just being like that vessel and available, just thinking she helping her friend, God moved in that and used her, even though she doesn't have that intentional relationship. So I think that like, even I going back to scripture, like Pharaoh, and like how God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but then Pharaoh's heart was just hardened. And regardless, God's will was done to free the Hebrews. That's an Exodus, friends. That's not Christians. We love you. And like,
got a whole Bible study tonight.
Well, friend, you know, I love Jesus, so I'm gonna talk about him. And I think that God is able to use any and everything. Nothing is off limits. So I think that even for those that don't follow him and don't accept him, they are not off limits to him. Like you said, like, we serve a God that the job gonna get done regardless how it's gonna get done. Even with Jonah, when the storm came, they did not believe in God. And they were like, but they could tell, like, okay, bro, you the one on this boat that's causing this problem because you're being disobedient. You got to go. And like, he was able to reveal God's, like, God was able to show himself to that, and they didn't even know. So I think that there are purposes being fulfilled that are God driven, but people don't know because it's not, none of it is for that person. It is to give glory and to do what God needs to be done to be accomplished. I said all that to say that.
No, that makes sense. And when y'all were talking, I've been reading Job a lot for a lot of personal reasons, okay? It's been rough. And the thing that I always remember for my non-Christian friends, Job was a rich man. He lost everything, then he got rich again, basically. And the Lord kind of put him on his back and humbled him. But the verse that always sticks out to me, and every time I read Job, I always think about in the last chapter where Job is talking to God and apologizing. And in verse 2, it says, I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours will be thwarted. Right. So like, and I think that's why I have this conversation with like the unbeliever, right? If God wants to save the world, and all the Christians, especially American Christians, because American Christians do not care about the environment. But if they do not, you know, like want to take care of God's creation, he's going to pick people who do not believe in him to take care of the things that he created, right? And I guess for me, it's just like God's purpose is bigger than us. And like Dudley said, I think like my main purpose is to go ye therefore, right? Yeah. Like no matter what it, what vein it looks like to me, that it's to help people find their God-given purpose, but to go ye therefore is what it is. And then going ye therefore, like if I choose not to, he can use, like if he can use a donkey, right? He opened the mouth of a donkey to get somebody to turn around. I know that he can use an unbeliever. So I just think it's interesting that we, when we have this conversation about purpose, and although I do believe that it's God-given, I just know that there are so many people who are like, yeah, I don't... Nah, I just do this because I thought about it and I brought it to life, or I manifested. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I had a vision, or whatever they say. I saw myself, you know, doing this thing. So I just wanted to bring that element in to just ask your opinion. And thank you for your opinion on that. Yeah.
Wait, I want to add something.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because it was something that you said, like, yeah, kind of like what we've been talking about, like this idea of people who don't believe in God being used to fulfill God's purpose. It immediately brought me back to last summer and how a lot of the movements that were happening, like social justice movements and like Black Lives Matter movement, that was not the church. But it's very hard for me to believe that that was not God. So I think that that is the prime example of, well, in my opinion, that is a prime example of God using people, since, you know, I'm calling this out, since the church didn't step up like they should have, God said, okay, I'm going to use these people to speak about unity and to speak about justice, because that's what I did.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't want to go down that road.
I'm a Black Panther today. Oh Lord.
Right.
I didn't know that.
But there's a quote, I think it's Dr. Darius Daniels. It was just like, if the church is solid about something, then Satan and the world will speak louder. And I think that like the world being unbelievers, like I don't know what Satan up to, because I ain't too focused on him. But I think I agree with Dudley, is just like the church didn't realize it was time to say something until the world started speaking. And when the world was louder than the church was, that was alarming. And then that's when they realized, like, oh, it's time to catch up. But sometimes it could be too late to play catch up. Like, we gotta get ahead of the game. Yeah. But that's it. I ain't gonna say nothing else.
The podcast about y'all. But
thing. I'm just
I thought about that today, actually. So your podcast is actually coming out in April, but Oprah's interview with Harry and Meghan was like, I didn't watch it because I don't have cable, but it was last weekend. And I was thinking about the injustices that have happened, right? In England, that people think that England is a monolith and it's definitely not. They're very diverse, right? And everything that can happen in any diverse place happens in England, right? But I've thought about that literally today, how the Lord is literally bringing out like his purpose for everyone to be, and I don't think that God thinks we all should be equal, but be just, right? We should live in a just society. And that he is just popping up everywhere. You know, like you have, there's never really been a scandal except since Diana against Princess Diana, excuse me. I feel like that was disrespectful. Since Princess Diana.
Low key, I was like, girl, you, like your teacher used to say, or your auntie used to say, you gotta put a handle on that.
Y'all are not a first name.
My bad. Since Princess Diana, right, of injustices. And I think that's interesting that God is doing what he chooses to do, how he chooses to do it. But we're going to jump to my next question. And the question is, how did you get to your journey? Like, tell us about your purpose. Tell us about your journey and what it looks like. So one of y'all got to go.
Okay, I'll go. I was trying to let Allison go because I feel like I've gone first.
Okay. That's
And then I think our stories are eerily
similar. But I say they blend, so we could just tag team.
Okay, yeah, we could tag team.
So repeat the question.
Just what is your journey to your purpose? How did you get there?
Ooh, okay. So I was in college and I thought I wanted to be first of all, when I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian, but then I watched this movie and I saw that veterinarians had to like stick their hands up cows' butts and stuff. And I was like, this is not what I'm interested in and not the field I want to go in. So I was like, okay, I'll be a doctor. And then I remember going to my pediatrician to ask her questions and she told me how long she was in school for. I was like, oh no, then I'll be a nurse. And so I think it was Our Lady of Holy Cross College to pursue a nursing degree. And I was doing well until I got in biology and I kept failing biology. And I realized science was just not my thing. And I emailed my mom, cause that's how we communicated in class. And I told her that I wanted to pursue a theater degree and I wanted to go to Northwestern and is that Thibodeau? Yeah, I wanted to go to Natchitoches. I wanted to go to Northwestern because there was this guy there that I liked, and he told me how had a great theater program, and I believed him. And so my mom was like, "No, you're going to go to Delgado. It was community college here in New Orleans." So I was like, "Okay, fine." So I went there to pursue theater. Made new friends. Still loved them, but I didn't make the best decisions while with those friends. And I also got involved in my local church, even while doing that. And that's where I met Dudley, in the choir at church and still living his crazy life. And we joined, the MIND ministry together and just got involved in that, but still living his crazy life. And I wanted to basically run away. Like my goal was to leave New Orleans cause I didn't want to commit fully to following Christ and doing what he wanted me to do. But I also knew I couldn't really be around the friend group I made because I would be influenced because I didn't really know who I was by their decisions. And I was like, I just want to go. So I went to Disney World where I wanted to be a princess and a star. And princess has a whole new definition now that I watched the Meghan and Harry interview. But I went there to run away and still did what I wanted to do. And I had God moments out there, but I ignored them. And so it was an internship that lasted 6 months. And I tried to bargain with my parents. And they were like, just come home for 6 months and then you can go back to the program because you could take, like, you have 6 months off and then go back if you wanted to, if you like had like the right credits or whatever. And so I did. And I was like, fine. So came to that compromise, came back to New Orleans, did not have a job, had absolutely nothing to do. So I was at church all the time. I was at my friend Lilla house, hanging out with Lilla and Dudley a lot. And we were in the MIND ministry and a lot of teenagers in the ministry. And they were telling us about U Church. So we would go visit that sometimes. And then there was a summer. I don't think any of us had jobs at that point. I can't remember, but I don't think any of us had jobs. And Lilla was like, you should ask Pastor Chip if you can chaperone on this trip with me. And I was like, okay, cool. So I called him, never really talked to him before. Called him and asked him. He was like, oh man, Allie, sorry, but we're full. And I was like, oh man, okay. And then so let it go. Literally like maybe 2 days later, he called me back and was like, hey, Allie, are you available? Because I had a chaperone drop out. And I was like, yeah, in my head, I'm like, it's a free trip, like whatever. I was like, yeah, I can still go. And little like later, like me and Lil are excited about it. And then we tell Dudley, like we're going, and I'll let Dudley hop in this time now. Unless you want to share a bit of your personal story too.
Okay, I can share my story leading up to that point.
Yes.
Ooh, this is like
fun. I like this.
Okay. So I think my story, I didn't realize until later that my story started when I was in, really when I was a child, but I won't go back that far. But I'll go back to when I was in high school. So right after Hurricane Katrina, I was like, I think that was like the birth of me becoming like a Black Panther, but like I was like a baby Panther at that time. And I came back to the city and I was like, you know, I'm dedicated to the city. I want to help. I want to serve. So I ended up joining this youth-led organization that was focused on rebuilding New Orleans public schools post-Katrina. So that was like an internship, and it remained kind of like my job literally all the way through college. So like I was working with middle schoolers and high school students and helping them, you know, become leaders and public speakers and, you know, doing all of this advocacy work. And I was doing a lot of work with the city and like education reform and all of that stuff. So I did that through college. In college, I chose, so a part of that, if Katrina had not happened, I probably would have went to another school out of state. But I was like, really like, it was out of Morehouse and Xavier. And obviously I chose Xavier, mostly because Xavier gave me more money, but also I wanted to be in the city because I was like, I feel like I have a calling here. I feel like I'm supposed to be doing work here. So I did like that. I worked with that organization all the way through college, graduated from Xavier in 2012. And this is around the time me and Allison were unemployed. So I had, during college, I had joined the choir, like Allison said. I was like trying to be more actively involved in church, but still very much in college. So the summer of 2012 happens. I'm like, for the past 2 years, I had been working with Essence. So I like, by the time I graduated, I was like, oh, I'm going to work in entertainment. I want to be like this PR person and like this entertainment, whatever. 2012, I did not have a job. So that summertime, all of us are like hanging out, probably, you know, doing ministry stuff because like you said, we hung out at church because we were unemployed. And that same trip, Allison and Lila, I had found out that they were going on this youth retreat. And I was like messing around like, oh, well, it's funny that y'all get to go. I can't go and blah, 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 blah. And literally maybe like 15 minutes after that conversation takes place, the youth pastor calls and like, I need a male chaperone. And I was like, oh, well. Let me check my schedule. Oh, I'm not doing anything because once again, I'm unemployed. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And so that was summer of 2012 was, I think that was the year that I realized, okay, like this is the path that I'm supposed to be going now. So we went to that camp, and that is where I accepted my call to youth ministry. Like I was like, I know I'm supposed to be doing youth ministry work. So for the next 3 years, we went to that camp. I think Allison went all 3 years. I went 2 years. By the time we got to that second year, we were like, this is not what it needs to be for the students that we're serving. So just context for the people that are listening, me and Allison were attending a inner city church that served predominantly inner city Black kids. The camp we were going to was more so for your suburban audience. So we got with the youth pastor, and this there was this idea of what if we started our own thing with our kids in mind. And that led to the birth of what is now Reset Camp. So Reset Camp is the camp that me and Allison run. It is created to not only serve inner city students and give them a quality and affordable camp experience, but also to help leaders, so like the youth pastors and volunteers, like we were, to help build them up and to better equip them to serve in their context. Also, that was in 2000. So we launched our first camp in 2015. From my 9 to 5, I was working at Entergy. I thought that I would be at Entergy forever. My dad worked for Entergy for almost 40 years. I had family members that worked there for 40 some years. Like, it was just a part of the family. It was a family thing. I was not fulfilled there. So literally later that summer, the same summer that we started Reset, later that year, I got the opportunity to start working with the school district in the city. So I've been working in education ever since then. So I that was kind of like how God, for me, really just kind of he just guided me in that direction. And I honestly feel like if I had not made that decision in 2012, that I would not have ended up where I am now with me doing youth ministry and doing like this summer camp and also working in education. Like that's where I feel like that's where my purpose is. Like, that's what I'm meant to do. But it was because of decisions that I made right after graduating from college that I'm in the position that I'm in today. So yeah, that's how I ended up in my purpose. But it started with a yes. It was really like, yes, I'm going to go on this. I'm going to be a chaperone. Mm-hmm. So.
Allie, you want to finish? Stop for you.
I just said, I thought he was going to pass the baton, but he finished his race.
Tag, Allie.
Thank you so much. But so I'm trying to think. Well, like you said, we started at UCAM, and it's funny because in 2012, like Dudley accepted his call of ministry, and I was just like, I think that was the first time I ever felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that was the first time I ever prayed out loud. So to accept the call, which it just seemed like too much for me at the moment, but I knew God had me there for a reason. And the third trip I went on, I also like, I didn't know who I was. So I feel like during that time, God had to like show me the new creature he was making me to be. And I had to accept that process. And so each year, I don't know if you realize this, but each year I went, God took away one of my friends. So like the first year it was 3 of us. The second year, my friend Lila couldn't make it. So it was just me and Dudley. In the third year, Dudley couldn't make it. So it was just me. And I felt like God needed me to see that he had something specific for me because I was so fearful of what he could ask me to do because I didn't feel qualified. But that year, that was the year everyone kept asking me. I kind of led the trip. So I went from like not doing nothing to now like leading all the kids and the chaperones and stuff because our pastor was like the camp pastor that year. And so throughout the time, people are asking me, so when are you going to accept your call of ministry? Like people I've seen because it was be at this, it's called Black Church Week. So there's a conference happening with like a whole bunch of Black churches that come to this one place each year. And so you get to see the same people each year. So you become friends and stuff. And so people are like, when are you going to accept your call of ministry? When are you going to do this? And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that looks like accepting your call of ministry. And so I prayed to God about, I was like, I don't know what you want me to do. And I remember it was like one of the last nights and this girl that I don't know, she was with another group. Two girls came up to me to pray and I prayed for them. And one of the girls, like I always give hugs after I pray. And when I hugged the girl and she just started crying. And like, I told her, I was like, you don't have to let go until you're ready. And she just wailed like, and I remember vividly hearing God say like, this is what I need you to do. And I was like, okay. Like I thought I was like, oh, like teenage, like girls ministry. But like, that was it. That was kind of like the hint of it. So as time goes on, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life. I started working, I was working at Buffalo Wild Wings, then went to Jamba Juice. And then that's when, like I said earlier, my friend got me a job at a bank and I started off as a teller. And even during that, staying true to like, okay, God, you have me here. Like, what do you want me to do while I'm here? And just like seeing what the next step was and being promoted to a banker. And I thought that, and I even accepted my call. I accepted my call to full-time. I accepted my call to ministry, I'll say. And I was like, I'm going to go to seminary, because he kept pressing counselor on my heart. He was like, which made sense to me. Cause like I said earlier, I thought I wanted to be a doctor, but I just had this desire to help people. I just wanted to help people like think through their thoughts and see past their hurt and stuff. And I was like, okay, like counseling seems like it, but I want to use the Bible as a foundation in helping people mentally. Like, so I was like, I'll go to seminary and get a counseling degree. And so I did that and still pursuing that. And as I continue to walk with God, I'm like, okay, we started Reset Camp. It's going through the wire. And like, I feel like this is my calling. I was like, I'll keep working at this bank, grow at the bank, make enough money to help fund Reset. And we would talk about it all the time. Like, I'll be the first one to quit my job and I could work for Reset full time to get us all on the map and all this other kind of stuff. But God flipped the script on me. I knew my time at the bank was coming to an end. The spirit was just really heavy. Like, I have something on my Instagram with the story. I won't go into it, but like, he made it very clear, like, when my last day would be and everything. And I thought I was going to work for a different bank or for the government, but then I was offered a job at my church and I said no, because I said I would never work at a church. I didn't want to. Then it was offered a part-time position. I was like, I got a full-time job, bills, and part-time ain't gonna cut it. And then as time went on, doors kept closing from other jobs I applied at. Then they made me an offer that matched there as much as they could to my current position. And I was like, all snap. And I asked God for a clear sign. A lot of crazy things happened that night too, that God was pointing to it, but I asked God for a clear sign and he sent me my last decline email from all, I applied for like 8 or 9 different jobs and I was counting how many was out there. He sent, I asked for a clear, like clear picture of like what I was supposed to do after I was offered the full-time job. And he sent, and 15 minutes later, I got a decline email and I was like, okay, well, I'm about to work at a church full time. And I remember calling Dudley the next day and telling him. He was like, so you about to be a pastor? And that freaked me out to a whole different level, because I didn't want the title. I was just like, I'm just about to coordinate. And so he was like, no, your title say pastor. And I was like, I don't want it. So I'm still getting adjusted to that, because I didn't want, someone called me out on it, basically like, you can't like deny what God has called you to and what he's like called you to be and what he's called you to do. So like, I feel like with me and my purpose, like I've always had a desire to help people like see the great things that God has called them to do. Cause I feel like I was a person that could never see the great things God had in store for me. And I'm upset that it took so long for me to realize that I could do these things with him, that now I want to help people see early on that like, you can do this. Like, you don't have to wait till you're in your 30s or your late 20s. Like, you could do this as a teenager. You could do this as like a college freshman. You could do this like in your 40s, whenever. But like, that's where I knew like my purpose was to help people. And that's with Reset. That's with my job here at Celebration Church. And even like on campus, I'm seeing how the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, also Level College, that's where I'm at. But like, I've seen God even like stretch me and grow me in that area. So yeah, it's just crazy. Like when, like Dudley said, like when you say yes, like what comes after that, it really don't be making sense. And that's how I know it's God. So yeah, that was a mouthful.
So Allie, you are the queen of bringing it back to where I was about to go. So the thing that I want to bring together from the two things that y'all said, thank you for sharing your story. And it's crazy that, well, of course, it makes sense they're intertwined because y'all friends and y'all on this podcast together, but it's still crazy that they're intertwined. And the two things that I want to talk about from your story, Dudley, is that saying yes and that being fulfilled in energy, mixed with Allie's thought of being feeling, I wrote down what you wrote. I don't want to say, let me say what you said. Qualified. I didn't want to say something else. Okay. So like, I think my question is, can we say yes and still not feel qualified? Like what I said yes, but now what?
I think you, in most cases, I'm gonna say in most cases, in my cases, and every time, most of the times that I've ever said yes in life, it was prior to the qualification. Like I had experience, but like there's a level of, if you work in youth ministry, like that's just a different type of beast. And I had to go through a lot in order to be what I needed to be in youth ministry. And it was like a lot of growing pains, but like, you can't walk through the door until you open it. You see what I'm saying? Like that's how you get in the room. You got to open the door first. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see like this idea of like saying yes before you're qualified. Like that is, it starts with a yes. You can't, I think a lot of times we trick ourselves into believing that we have to have it all together before we get to a certain level, which I think is true in some cases. But like, if God puts something in your heart, he's not putting it on your heart just to tease you. Like there's a meaning behind that, but you have to, like I said earlier, you have to participate in what God is doing with you. You have to say yes. Like he can't do B, C through Z until we check off point A. So yeah, and it was, I won't say it was easy for me to say yes, but it was, I think I had enough experiences with God previously to know that, you know, I knew I had to say yes. And I think everybody's experience is different, but I know like things that have happened personal life, I knew that I was like, okay, I'm gonna say yes, then you just gonna have to figure it out.
You being God.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I think for me, like, no, like clearly you don't have to be qualified. Like I still haven't earned my degree yet at a seminary or counseling. Like I ain't no counselor out here. But I work at a church staff. But December 2022, I will have my degree. But I think that, like, just looking at scripture and seeing how God chooses the most unqualified people to do the extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. I think he uses, like, people like David and, like, Paul and Peter and literally Moses, Noah, Joshua, like all these people with these messed up stories to do the unthinkable. And I think it's just because I think it's easier for him to use people that feel unqualified because they already know what loss is. Like you already know what, like, I already know what failure look like. But if you telling me that with you, I'm gonna win, I ain't got nothing to lose now. And I feel like that's what hit for me is just like, I've tried everything on my own. I've tried my own different ways. I changed majors. I changed jobs. I tried to settle for less, but I never felt satisfied until I fully started living for Jesus Christ. And he hasn't failed me yet. And so I can only go based off of that. And I think there's a humility that comes with feeling unqualified that God is able to use you more because you're not thinking of yourself. I think it's also harder because he has to continue to remind you that, like, you're only doing this with me, so let me just do it type of thing. And I had no issue with like public speaking, but when it comes to like speaking at my church, I always get nervous and I always freak out because I loved acting because I get to portray someone else. I get to learn a line and I get to embody somebody else's story. But when I speak, I'm myself and I have to be my true authentic me and I have to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. And that's scary. That freaks me out, but I have to lean on the scripture. I think it's in Hebrews where it's just like the Holy Spirit will speak for you and he will come through for you. And I think that that's what helps me pursue my purpose every day, knowing that like it's not me at all. Because if it was me, like I've already tried it with me and I failed, but because it's him going before me and it's him like coming through, then I don't have to be concerned about what's gonna happen, because he don't fail. And even if it looked like it's a failure, it's not, because he's in it.
Thank you to you both for those responses. I think though, one of the things that I was thinking about as both of you all were talking though, is it's kind of this acceptance, even though I don't feel qualified. And I think the only reason I'm thinking about that mostly is because Allie, you resisted and you're still kind of resisting everything that God has for you. And I think, can that affect our purpose, right? Like, I know that I'm a purpose cultivator and educator, right? But there are days when I don't feel like talking to people, you know? But literally, I'm created to talk to people, to bring life to them. And can our acceptance of that, whether we feel qualified or not, how does that affect how our purpose, I was about to say manifest itself, shows up in our lives.
I think one thing that we do have to understand about purpose is you might not like everything that is associated with
purpose. Oh, that's good.
Like, that's good. I don't particularly like writing papers or staying up late to edit stuff or negotiating contracts and fundraising and all this other business stuff that has come with my purpose or that takes place on my God street. Mm-hmm. But that is a part of the journey, so I do it. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, when you find your purpose, everything is just going to be so perfect and like glitz and glam. Like, it's not. Like, this stuff is hard. It is hard work, and it takes diligence, it takes commitment. To go back to your question, I do think that our resistance, it doesn't change our purpose, but I think it can delay it. I think it can, you know, hold us up. Like we said earlier, God is still sovereign. It's still going to get done. But I would say for anybody that has been kind of fighting against their purpose, I would say the one benefit of it is like you, of just saying yes, is that you don't have to deal with that certain frustration anymore. Yeah. There's some other ones, but yeah. Like, you know, you won't be hitting that brick wall anymore. Yeah. So I think it delays it a little bit when we, you know, kind of resist and like hesitate, but it doesn't change it. Like, your purpose is still going to be what it's always meant to be.
Can you repeat the question, please? I'm sorry. My memory
is fine. I was talking about acceptance of your purpose, whether you feel qualified or not. How does it affect? Because I was thinking about you not being called a pastor, but saying you're not a pastor. Saying you know you're supposed to work at a church, but don't want to work at a church. You know, just like, how does that affect your purpose?
So God has to get me together a lot. Of like a like kind of like what Dudley said, like it's like there's some stuff I love. It's just like, number one, I tell people all the time, they're like, how is it working at church? It's like any other job. Everyone doesn't wake up like, oh, I'm so excited to go to work. I mean, unless there's like, I was excited today because I knew there would be free lunch, like, or there would be like an incentive or something. But like, people like that with anything.
I can't. I cannot.
But I have days just like anyone else. I can say though that like I'm grateful for this just because it has been one of the most fulfilling jobs I've ever had. Like, it's one of the, I felt my purpose when I worked at the bank, because I was able to share the gospel with people when they came and sat at my desk, and able to like help them figure out, like, I love when like college students and high school students would come and open accounts, because I get to see like what you going to school for. I was even able to like disciple this girl and stuff. And so like, I loved that point, but I felt like God was like, oh, we got to do it a step further. Like, now you're about to work for me for real, for real. And it just made me nervous because I still struggle with some insecurities. I still struggle with like, are you sure it's me, until I see him use me. And I'm like, all right, bet, let's go. Or until I feel like something stirring inside of me, like, this is when you need to speak up. This is when, this is why I have you here. This is, like, I need you to speak for my people. I need you to represent us. I need you to take care of this. And so, like, when those moments happen, especially last summer, I realized, like, okay, this is why you have me here. This is what you need me to do. Like, you have to let, like, I'm here to help the young women that look like me feel represented. I'm here bigger than myself. Like, I was asked to speak at a high school chapel to middle schoolers and high schoolers. And I was the first Black woman that have ever spoken in chapel. And the response from the girls and the response from even the Black guys were, like, astounded, because they had never seen themselves. And that let me know that, like, this is why I'm here. So they could know, like, this is, like, this. And that's why I love when we do Reset too. Like, we ask people at the end if they want to accept Christ, if they want to commit their life back to Christ, or their calls in ministry. Because I think that in the Black church, that wasn't something offered to us. That's why, I know for me, that's why I was so confused. Like, what does that mean? Like, am I going to be a pastor? Now, God had it be so, like, that was the route for me, but that's not everybody's story. You may be called to do something else.
It's not my story.
Whatever. You may be called to do something else within his body. You may be called to just, like Dudley, work in the world, if you will, to make sure his purpose is fulfilled. So I think that accepting it is it's like a daily acceptance for me. Every day I have to say yes. Every day I have to die to my flesh and be like, I'm in this, because I'm constantly reminded of, like, we talk about other people, but Jesus Christ alone, he had to make the decision. Like, he went to God and was just like, if you could take this cup from me, like, take it, but if not, let your will be done. Like, it wasn't his immediate choice to die on the cross for us, but he understood the purpose behind it so that we can have this connection and we can have that salvation and have that relationship with him. And he went through that suffering and pain and agony to ensure that we can have everlasting life with him. So if he could make that commitment to ensure that, like, I can live with him forever, I can wake up every day and I can go to work and I can communicate with people and I can share the gospel and I could do things that I don't even feel comfortable doing because he made that huge step for me. And I know that may not be, like, everyone's purpose and everyone's, like, goal, but that's mine. That's my encouragement daily, that, like, if Jesus could do that, then I can easily do this.
That's good. No, I think that everyone needs their thing that helps them keep going. Because I think that, like Dudley said earlier, like, you're not going to enjoy every part of your purpose, right? Like, I do not like editing this thing. Like, this, I could do without editing a podcast every week. But I know that it has to happen. In order for the message to get out that you have a purpose and it is to help other people in some way, right? And you can fulfill it, right? But so that's the message, just so y'all know. I think that in that, I lost my whole train of thought saying that. Anyway, in that, I think that we have to remember that there is a reason why we do it every day, because every day is not peachy clean. Peachy clean? Peachy. What's the word?
Peachy clean, isn't it clean?
That's what I thought. Why did I say queen?
I thought it was king.
King. Peachy. Thank you. Peachy king. That's what it is. Anyway, everything ain't
peachy. Peachy queen? No, it's clean.
It's neither.
And I'm keeping it in. I'm keeping it right in there. All right. It's, I think, king. It's king.
K-E-E-N.
Yeah.
Peachy king.
So don't judge me, listeners. Sorry, my bad. But anyway, yeah, I think that everything is not peachy keen. And because of that, we have to remember what our thing is. And for Allie, that thing is Jesus. And I feel like for some, like, I have friends that work with kids also. And, like, one of my dear friends, that, like, he talks about all his kids all the time. Like, I just have to make sure they see something different. Like, he says, my purpose is to expose kids to things that they normally would not be exposed to. And he runs a summer camp in Chicago. He's gonna kill me. He really my guy, brother. If I leave it as friend, we're gonna have an issue. Okay. hey, Eric. But yeah, like, but you know, And just that's the thing that keeps him going, right? And I think that when we are find our purpose, we have to remember the thing that keeps us going. So this is a great episode. This is a really good episode. And I always end every episode asking the same question. If people get nothing else from this episode, what would you like them to get?
Two things. I would say, one, you have a purpose. I think that's a lot of times people kind of get lost in finding a purpose, that they get so discouraged that they feel like they don't have a purpose. So I do want to remind people that you do have a purpose. And I think that you will find yourself on that path eventually. I think the timing looks different for different people. Like Jazz, he was talking about on our podcast, he was talking about how your friend was playing with dirt when she was in a child. So like, you know, she knew she got in line with her purpose then. So somebody like us, like we didn't realize it until we were in our 20s. So I think it looks different for different people. I think the second point I would like to leave with people is that it is a faith journey. You know, regardless of, regardless of your belief, but like as a believer, I'll speak for myself. Yeah. It has been like those blind yeses have been, I mean, they've changed my life. And some of them have been scary. Some of them have been, you know, I've been a little bit resistant, but like after I made that yes, I mean, the floodgates open. But you have to, like, you have to start with a yes. Like you can't go around it. You can't, I mean, it can't be a maybe. You can say later, but like you're only hurting yourself. You might as well just go ahead and say yes now. Get it over with so you can get to it.
That's good. Get it over with so you can get through it.
I'm merch!
Better say, scrap that on a shirt.
I'm on the right, all this down.
I had to say, write this down for bear fruit.
You see how God be using me, y'all?
Come on, purpose. Purpose. Come on, God Street. I see the shirt in my hand.
God Street took me, though. I'm telling y'all, like, if you put that on a shirt, I'm buying that.
Get the editing, Dudley. Get the graphics. For me, I could share anything.
Yeah.
Okay, praise God.
It does not have to be related to podcast.
So number one, I would like to say that God has created you with a specific calling, action, or something that no one else can do. I know people always say, like, even with podcasts, like I heard people say, like, there's buku podcasts out there, but your podcast isn't out there. If you're called to make a podcast, your book isn't out there. Like, there's always different types of bread, different type of paper towels, different type of everything. So it doesn't mean that there isn't a space for you. And don't think because you see spaces occupied that you can't fit any, because you can. Like, God has created you to do something that none of us can do, even if you think you should do the same thing that we are doing. The second thing I want to do is, like, we were saying, like, there may be unbelievers listening. It wouldn't be me if I didn't share the gospel. So I want you to know that there's Jesus Christ. He loves you immensely. He loves you for, like, where you are, what you're doing, regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of whatever decisions you made in the past or even what you may be doing right now. He loves you so much that he died for you on the cross, suffered, and then three days later rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life with him. And I've always heard there was this atheist, he was a magician, I forgot his name, but famous magician, he said that if someone would have told me how good this Jesus was, I may have accepted it, but no one ever shared him with me. So I'm here to let you know that, like, he is real, he is faithful, he is present, and he is there. So I don't know what Jesus picture that you have been painted, but he's good. He's a friend. He's a comforter. He is everything that you need and may be missing. So if you want to know more about Jesus Christ, I don't know if she's going to share our IG or whatever, but DM me if you have any questions, because that is my purpose. I want people to know the goodness of Jesus. I want people to know and understand that he is available, and I would not be doing what I'm supposed to do if I did not share that with you.
Thank you. Thank you to you both. Also, for real, you can also, I'm assuming, because I'm just going to speak for Dudley, that you can actually reach out to any of us if you want to discuss anything about our Lord and Savior, man. That's my home. Yes. So thank y'all for being here. This is a great episode of the Purpose Podcast with Dr. Jazz, where we journey to purpose together. And I will see everyone next week. Bye, y'all. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Purpose Podcast with Dr. Jazz, where we journey to purpose together. On this week's episode, I sit down with Allie and Dudley of the Bear Fruit Podcast, and we talk about saying yes. Both of them mentioned that you have to say yes in order to fulfill your purpose. So I hope that everyone says yes to one thing when it comes to their purpose. Shout us out in our IG DMs, or you can email us and let us know what you've said yes to when it comes to your purpose. And as always, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. And I'll see you all next week.